Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today, and this is going to be an appropriate subject, an interesting subject for you. Every single person who is a born-again believer has the opportunity to walk with the Spirit of God, has the opportunity to be counseled by the Spirit of God, has the opportunity to receive direction, conviction by the Spirit of God. And so it's something that is very near and dear to us. It is something that is very important to us as Christians, as born-again believers, because no other religion, no other philosophy, no other organization, group, or whatever, all across the earth, none have the opportunity like born-again believers do to walk with the Spirit of God, to have that counsel and that comfort, that peace that comes when the Holy Spirit comes to abide with you. And so it's a very important topic for all believers. It's a very important topic if you're not a believer, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can come to know Him today, and the Holy Spirit can be yours to be with you every step of the way, all the rest of your life. And you should be interested in that. You should desire that. If nothing else, that should make you desire the kingdom of God and make you want to walk with the Lord. Well, in Acts 1, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and this scene is taking place 40 days after Jesus was resurrected. This scene, he is talking to the disciples. He's preparing them for his ascension into heaven. He's preparing them for the time when they will not have Jesus there to walk with them and talk with them and teach them and counsel them. He's preparing them for the time when they are going to be sent out, and they will be the ones who are carrying the message. They will be the ones who have been commanded, or who will be commanded, to carry the message to all the earth. They were given the Great Commission before Jesus was crucified, and in that Great Commission it says, "Go into all the nations." Matthew 28:19, go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so Jesus gave him a commandment then, before he was crucified. Now 40 days later, after the resurrection, he is with them. He is giving them final instructions before leaving earth. He is giving them final instructions so that they can go out and minister the gospel with power to people everywhere they go, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And beloved, we sit here 2,000 years later, as beneficiaries of the work on the cross that Jesus did, as beneficiaries of the love that he has for all people, as beneficiaries, and we are witness and testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ lives, and he lives, he sits at the right hand of God, but he lives within us, that God lives within us and abides with us through the Holy Spirit. And this is God's perfect plan, so that we can encounter trials. When we encounter trials here on this earth, we have the Spirit of God to counsel us. We have the Spirit of God to encourage us, strengthen us, give us peace, give us guidance and wisdom. And all of those things are made available to you as a born-again believer. And so I pray that you avail yourself of it. I pray that you walk in that place, walk in that Spirit. And if you have never accepted Jesus, that you do that today before we finish this broadcast, that you do that today and you come to know Jesus, and the Holy Spirit then will abide with you. Well, in Acts 1, in verse 4, again, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he has them assembled together in Jerusalem. And he says in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he," Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," Jesus said, "you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so we know that Jesus was speaking the very same words that John the Baptist had spoken. If you go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist was out in the Jordan River, and he was baptizing all those who were coming out from Jerusalem and the parts around. He was baptizing them for the remission of sins in the Jordan River. And he was telling the Pharisees at that time, even the Pharisees, the religious elite, were coming out there to be baptized, and they were very curious about what John was doing out there. And John told them, bring forth fruits according to repentance. So he was saying to the Pharisees, you need to repent. You need to repent. He was telling everybody that came out there, you need to repent. This was John's message. And so in Matthew 3:11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so John gave notice. He made a prophecy right then. He gave notice that the Holy Spirit was coming, that Jesus Christ was coming. And Jesus was going to be the baptizer. He was going to be the one that would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus would disperse that Holy Spirit. When the Spirit was poured out, the dispersion came. When the Spirit was poured out, many people on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they received their own personal baptism of fire, their own personal prayer language, the language of tongues. And so all of that happened 10 days after Jesus is now here speaking to the disciples. And he says the very same words that John the Baptist used. He repeated those words to the disciples. He said, wait, wait. The Father has given you a promise, and that promise is going to be given to you in just a few days. And in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, the reason they asked that is because the disciples were still, even at this late time, they were still expecting Jesus to set up some kind of an earthly kingdom, some kind of a military conquest, some way that they could take over the Roman Empire or take over the nation of Israel away from the Roman Empire. They were still looking for an earthly kingdom to be set up, and that Jesus would be the head and the director, the CEO, or the commander of this earthly kingdom. And Jesus says in verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Well, Jesus was giving them code language, you might say. He was telling them, yes, there is going to be a kingdom, and there's going to be a time and a season when the kingdom is going to be here on this earth. I believe he was speaking of the millennial reign at that point. He was speaking of the time when he was going to come back and actually set up a millennial kingdom. In Revelation chapter 20, you can read about that. For 1,000 years, Jesus comes with the saints, and he sets up a kingdom, you might call it that, the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign, and it is a time of bliss. It is a time, a precursor to the new heaven and new earth, the time when it will look somewhat like heaven here on this earth. And so that's what he was telling. It's not for you, his disciples, it's not for you to be concerned about when my Father sets these things up. It's not for you to be concerned about the times and the seasons and predicting the dates. And by the way, if you know people that are trying to predict the second coming of Jesus, you warn them not to do that. Or if you're doing that yourself, do not do that. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour except the Father himself. And so don't bother yourself with trying to predict when all the things in the kingdom are going to happen. It is a futile exercise, and even beyond that, it is stupid and goes against the instruction of Jesus. He said, don't concern yourself with the times and the seasons. But then Jesus says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." And so he was saying the very same thing here that John the Baptist has said. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power, the Holy Spirit and fire, and you will receive power. And Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the end of the earth. Well, beloved, we need a power-filled church. We need power-filled individual believers. We need power-filled everybody, power-filled teenagers. We need power-filled old people. We need power-filled middle-aged people. We need people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that they do not shrink back, so that they do not fall back. They go forward with the mission that God has called them to go forward with, that they go forward and they preach the gospel. They share the good news. They share the message of the good news of the gospel with people first in Jerusalem, that is right in their home locale, in their home neighborhood, and then Judea and Samaria, that is even farther down the road, and maybe the next county, the next state, maybe even across the country, and then even to the remotest parts of the earth. Beloved, that's the missionaries that go to the remote parts of the earth and reach those who have never been reached and teach those who have never been taught. And that is God's will, that we get out of the church, that we go and we reach and we teach and we preach and we instruct. And beloved, when you do that, then as we have talked the last month, as you do that, as you reach out to those who have not been taught and have not been instructed, then God has a special blessing for you. He has that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing for you. When you leave your farm, you leave your business, you leave that which is comfortable to you, and you go and preach and teach and instruct on behalf of the Lord Jesus, then you have that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. Well, so Jesus says, you will receive power. Beloved, let me ask you this. What is holding you back from desiring the power of the gospel to reach out to those who don't know about the gospel? What is holding you back? Don't you want that power? That is God's will for every single believer, that we have that power. Then it gives us the boldness, the confidence. It gives us everything we need, the tools that come with the Holy Spirit. It gives us everything we need to reach out and go with boldness, that the spirit of fear and intimidation would not take over us, but the spirit of boldness, that spirit of fear is gone. The spirit of boldness takes over, and you will be a teacher. You will be a preacher. You will move forward with the confidence that the Holy Spirit gives to you. Well, what exactly is the promise of the Father that was given to the apostles, given to the disciples? That promise, if you look back in John, the book of John, in chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus gives a lot of instruction to the disciples about the Holy Spirit, and so that is the place we look to find out what Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just highlight a few verses here. There's many in chapters 14, 15, and 16. Read those as you get an opportunity. But in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus tells the disciples, "But when the Helper comes," that is to say the Holy Spirit, when the Paraclete, the Helper comes, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." And so Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to testify of me. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, he's going to be speaking of the words of Jesus and the words of the Father. And so when the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus, then there will be a witness to Jesus in every individual believer, and even amongst those who do not believe, there will be a witness by the Holy Spirit to convict those people of their sin and convince them that Jesus Christ is Lord, convince them that God the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus goes on then to give more detail and to elaborate what he just said. And you go on to chapter 16 in the book of John, and in verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." What he's saying, the ruler is the devil, and the ruler has been judged. He was judged at the cross, and Jesus Christ took the authority of hell away from the devil. He took the keys of hell away from the devil, and he released the captives, and he led them up to heaven. And we read about that in Ephesians 4, 8 through 11. But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, I'm going away, but it is to your advantage." And of course, this was a shock to the disciples. They couldn't figure out how it was going to be to their advantage that he was going away. He was their beloved friend. He was their beloved master. He was their beloved commander. And so they could not figure out how they were going to be better off if he was gone from their life. And Jesus, of course, was just a young man, 33 years. And so they were expecting him to live with them for many years. They're expecting to be able to serve with him for many years. And so this was a great shock to them when he said, "I'm going away." And he said, "I'm not going to leave you as an orphan," verse 5 in chapter 16. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Well, you can imagine they were full of sorrow. They were sorry to hear the words that were coming from Jesus' mouth. You know, when we have loved ones that leave, we say goodbye, but there's sorrow in our heart, and our hearts are a little bit broken at that point, and we come to a place where we have to learn to live without people that we love, and we have to learn to go on. And so these disciples, Jesus was priming them and prepping them to learn how to live and to be able to go forward with boldness when he was not with them. All right, in verse 13, in chapter 16, Jesus goes on, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth," that is the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Well, beloved, that is a sermon in itself right there. But what he says is, however, he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Well, beloved, don't we want to know the truth? Don't we want to have the truth spoken to us? When we receive counsel from somebody, you don't want people to tell you a bunch of lies and a bunch of fake stuff, fake news. You want people to give you the truth. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. When you ask the Holy Spirit for counsel, you can know for sure that the Holy Spirit is giving you the truth. You can know that the Holy Spirit is not deceiving you. He is not tricking you. There is a truth in the Holy Spirit that transcends every situation, every circumstance, every decision that you have to make in life. There is truth in the Holy Spirit that can address that situation, can lead you into the right decision, can lead you down paths of righteousness, can lead you in a way that you can benefit and be blessed and move forward in the kingdom, knowing that you are walking in truth, that you have received the truth, and you don't have to be timid, you don't have to be tepid, you don't have to be weak. You can know with boldness that the Holy Spirit has given you the truth in every situation. And Jesus says he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Well, how is the Holy Spirit going to hear? Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He knows the mind of God, and the Holy Spirit then can speak the mind of God to you. The Holy Spirit can relay what God has for you and relay it to you, relate it to you, and instruct you. And your blessing, your highest benefit, will be in the Holy Spirit's mind. Your highest benefit, that is the highest calling that you have, the highest place that you can be here on this earth. Those things are then taken into consideration when God gives you counsel, when God gives you wisdom. The Holy Spirit speaks the mind of God to you, and he will not only tell you things that are, he will give you instruction on things of right now, but he will give you instruction for things to come. How can he do this? God knows the future. God knows that which is coming that you may not know. God knows, and that is the way that he gives prophetic dreams and visions. He knows the future, and he shares the future with you. And so you can know when you make a decision. You can already have the end result explained to you. You can have the end result shown to you. And so when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you have that wisdom that allows you to see into the future. You have that spirit that allows you to know what is coming or what the possibilities are of things to come, because God is not confined to linear time. He knows the beginning, he knows the end, he can see into the future, he can see how all the pieces of the puzzle are going to fit together. And so when God gives you instruction through the Holy Spirit, he is giving you a glimpse of the future, all the different things that could play out, all the different things that could happen because of this decision, or the results of this decision, the consequences, negative, positive, whatever. And so when you are given a vision of the future, then you can make a wise decision in the present. Well, in verse 14, chapter 16, we're still in 16. He will glorify me, that is, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And so we have it given from the Father to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, and it is the mind of God. It is the wonderful wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit then receives it from Jesus, and he will give it to us. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Jesus said, everything that the Father has, I have it. I will give it to you. It is made available to you. The Holy Spirit will make it available to you. The wisdom, the counsel, the peace, the love, all of those things the Father has. Jesus says, they are mine, and I will take of mine, the Holy Spirit will take of mine, and he will declare it to you. And then Jesus wraps it up here. He says, in a little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. He was telling them after the resurrection, you're going to see me for a short time, and then I will go to the Father. And so that is where we are today. Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm getting ready to go to the Father. This is my final instruction for you before I leave the earth. Well, beloved, only God could think of these things. Only God has the mind that can comprehend these great things, how we can live here on this earth and have the counsel of the mind of God, have the counsel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, how we can have the peace that comes with walking and abiding with the Holy Spirit. And that all can be yours. That all can be yours. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Say, Jesus, I want to confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to repent. I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. I want to turn from my wicked ways and start to walk with you and talk with you and serve you. And beloved, you can do that today. If you don't know Jesus, make this the day that you come to know him. Make this the day that you confess him as your Lord and Savior. Make this the day that you start a new beginning, that you start a new life for yourself, a life dedicated to living for the Lord Jesus, a life dedicated to living with the abundance that he has promised you, with the Holy Spirit that he has promised you. And when you do that, when you get down on your knees and do business with God, God hears your prayer, he sees your heart, and he will bless you according to all the promises that he has for you. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. It's great to be with you each and every Sunday, but we need your support to keep these broadcasts coming. I urge you to sit down, partner with us, sit down, let us know that you're listening, drop us a line, and include a generous donation so that we can keep these radio broadcasts coming, and also the projects that we have going in Africa, the children's home projects, the preschool children that we support, all the crusades and church revivals, everything that we're doing over here in Africa. And so we invite you to partner with Gather the Outcast Ministry. God bless you for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.